Rainmaker FM.
Copyblogger FM is brought to you by StudioPress Sites, the complete hosted solution that makes WordPress fast, secure, and easy without sacrificing power or flexibility. Feel free to upload your own WordPress theme or use one of the 20 beautiful StudioPress themes that are included and just one click away. Explore all the amazing things you can do with the StudioPress site, and you'll understand why it offers a lot more than traditional WordPress hosting. No matter how you'll be using your site, we have a plan to fit your needs and your budget. To learn more, visit rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. Hey there, it is excellent to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone, and I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital. You can normally catch me at least once a week over on the Copyblogger blog, and I also publish more mindset and ranty stuff at Remarkable Communication. So you can always get show notes for every episode of Copyblogger FM. That typically includes some links, sometimes some free extras, by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm. And that's also where you can get the complete show archive. So you might remember not very long ago, like maybe last month, I was very keen on chatbots. I was very excited about some of the opportunities with chatbots, and I got a lot of that inspiration from Andrew Warner. He's over at Mixergy, and A, he's just a really enthusiastic person, and then B, he explained some things that I hadn't really understood at all about the new format. So we were excited. We published some content. I got ready to create a chatbot. I got distracted with some other things. And ta-da, last week, Facebook announces that they're putting all new chatbots on hold and all new bots on hold because they need to do a massive audit. And of course, that's connected with a lot of, let's call it scandal in the news and about some of their policies, also known as the horse ran away like 4 years ago. So let's take a good look at the barn door. So in any event, best timing ever, but it truly doesn't matter. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. So before I talk about maybe some of those evergreen best practices that we talk about, I want to talk a little bit about this development in the world of chatbots. So right now, early April, if you already have a bot up and running, it's just up and running. It's not a problem. You were very smart. You were an early adopter and you're not really affected. If you haven't installed one yet, then there's a pause on new bots being added to Messenger because they need to do this huge audit. Now, from everything I can glean, I don't see any reason to think this is anything other than a pause. I don't think that they're going to get rid of them or, you know, not allow them in the future. I think it's just a pause so they can figure out just what they've got. Facebook obviously got caught, you know, maybe by surprise, although they've known about some of their issues for quite a while. And so they need to at least have an appearance of getting a handle on, you know, what's going on with their platform. So if this kind of technology where you applied some messages and some sequences to the chat platform within Facebook, which is called Messenger, and which many people use, even if they don't use Facebook, a lot of people still use Messenger. If this was technology that Facebook didn't like, or it felt to Facebook leadership like it was, you know, not making Facebook look good, then I would be worried. Not because social platforms are what any of us would call the guardians of what is good and right and true, but sometimes they get embarrassed and that's when they tend to bring the hammer down. So the lesson learned from this, and you can learn this lesson in a lot of ways, is really keep your nose clean. You know, I would make the point that with this new development, lesson one is be a good Girl Scout when you're putting things together. You can be a good Girl Scout even if you're a dude. Just be really, you know, pretty squeaky clean about things. Don't exploit loopholes in algorithms. Don't try and play tricks with the platform that the platform, you know, doesn't want you to do. Just be very straightforward and use the technology the way it's meant to be used. I know a lot of people think I'm a bit maybe naive for adopting that, but it keeps me out of trouble and it keeps things from flipping around on me in the middle of the night because I got caught, you know, exploiting an algorithm. So the second lesson that I'm really seeing in this, and it's kind of an old one, it's one of my favorites that I got from Dan Kennedy, who is pretty traditional marketing guru, very different flavor from my stuff, but you know, he has a lot of pretty sound advice. And he has a phrase that one is the worst number in business. So this was actually something that I really liked about chatbots. It's one of the reasons that I was excited about them, is that they give an additional way beyond email to connect with people kind of in their, you know, in a way that's not a broadcast, in a way that just comes right to them, to their device. So I've talked with a couple of people who have run campaigns with their chat and chatbots, and they've made, you know, really good money. And they mentioned to me, you know, we didn't even collect an email on this one. And I would say that that is not typically a really good idea. Failing to collect the email, I think, is probably not your best move most of the time. So email has been kind of vulnerable for a while, and it's starting to show. And that's my problem with email, is it's one is the worst number in business. We have one way to really reach out to somebody directly. So if we want to look into the options of chat as a tool, then we could have two ways to connect with people for the people who want to communicate in that way. So some people are going to prefer chat, and some people are going to prefer email, and some people are going to possibly, you know, do both. And there might be other ways that could be incorporated. You know, we might be able to connect with people by text. So I really like if we can have a couple of options for people so they can receive communication in the way that they find most convenient. And as a business owner, as much as I can, I like to have some redundancy in my systems so that I have more than one way to reach out if something weird happens, you know, like Facebook gets into hot water and has to put a hold on things for a while. Now, I've been talking about this tool like Facebook is the only platform that hosts chat, and that's obviously not true. And, you know, Facebook may or may not be the big dog in the foreseeable future. We just don't know. But anytime if we were only relying on Facebook Messenger to connect with people, that's, you know, placing a bet that Facebook is always going to have its act together, and that's not a very good bet. So that takes us maybe to what we might call lesson three, which is that Facebook is Honey Badger, and Google is Honey Badger, and LinkedIn and Medium and YouTube are also all Honey Badger. And what I mean by that is they don't care. They do not care about your business. They really, really don't. I have known people who think that, let's say, Facebook cares about their business because they spend six figures a week on Facebook ads. I know people who spend six figures a day on Facebook ads. And the reality is that still makes you small fry. You're still not eBay. You're still not Amazon. You're still something they can live without. So definitely use Facebook and Google and LinkedIn and Medium and YouTube, because those are all really terrific tools. But don't rely on them all by themselves. Make sure that you've diversified how you can connect with people. And the thing is, the way to connect, you know, in a more direct way that you tend to be able to own, and I'm using own in quotes there, is the email address. If you have the email address, more or less, you can reach out to people directly when you want to with the right message. So try not to think about, you know, a chat connection as an or. Try to think about it as an and. And I would try to do that anytime, you know, you have any question about your business. So I think email is still strong. I think email is still important, but it doesn't work the way it used to. And we've been thinking a lot about, you know, what makes email work better? What are the better practices to connect with people to actually get seen? Because I've talked about my own inbox. I mean, it's terrible. And a lot of people are in a similar boat. They have so many unread messages. They have so many things that they would like to get to. There's just too much. It's, you know, they're choking on all this information. but I don't think that we're at all ready for, you know, never send another email. I think that's way premature, and email still delivers. It just, you know, maybe could use a little bit of an assist sometimes. And so my lesson number 4, which is kind of an unattractive number for a numbered list, but the smart thing to do with content at this point in time is to really get radically relevant. And so let me talk a little bit about what that means, and more to the point, how to do it. So taking email as an example, the new way to do email, the cool way, it's not so new for some people, is to really hyper segment, to create very focused short sequences and then deliver them very, very precisely. And that sounds very technical. And for a long time, honestly, it was relatively hard to do, especially if you're doing it on your own, if it's just you or you and, you know, a VA. So to be able to creatively and dynamically switch people so that they go down different paths, depending on what actions they take or what, you know, what things they do, that took some pretty significant resources to set up, pretty important investment of time and typically of money as well. And I do know some people who were fantastic at it and very impressive at it. But for just kind of normal people, honestly, it felt too hard and it was too expensive. But that is changing really, really fast, which is very cool. So at Copyblogger, at Rainmaker Digital, we have a new relationship with an email provider called ConvertKit. And a lot of folks probably already know that name. We've actually decided to be a marketing partner for them. So that means we're going to be helping them out with their marketing, helping get the word out. And of course, part of that is just helping our audience understand how best to use the tool. So why ConvertKit? What's cool about ConvertKit? What I think is really cool about ConvertKit is that a regular person, so just a writer with an email list, can set up creative and ultra, ultra relevant sequences and then connect them so that people see the right thing at the right time. So this is hard to understand in the abstract, so let me give you an example. Let's say that you have a gardening tools and supplies business and you have a content-focused website and you collect email addresses. You get people to subscribe to your email tips or newsletter, what have you, and you'd use a really cool tool like ConvertKit. One of the first things that you would find out is what the growing zone your new email subscriber was in. In other words, you know, how cold does it get where you live? Because there's really not any point selling tropical plants to somebody who lives in Nova Scotia. So now you have an email list of subscribers and you've asked them a question. Hey, what's your gardening zone? You know, and you have a list that has, you know, who's in the warmer zones, California or even Hawaii, and who's in the colder zones, you know, East Coast of North America, that kind of thing. So you've got all of your folks who are from way north, Maine, Nova Scotia, up around there, and you give them an incentive, just them, that's relevant to cold climate gardening. You send them a special tip sheet that's like, here's how to get a jump start on your spring seed starting. And somewhere in that email sequence, you might ask them a different question. So you've delivered them something good. Here's how to start your seeds in a cold climate. And then you ask a question in an email. Do you like to grow flowers, or do you like to grow vegetables, or do you like to do both? And so the people who say vegetables, you know, what do they get? Well, they get a follow-up with some great vegetable gardening tips that are relevant for Nova Scotia. So you're becoming really hyper-relevant to them, as opposed to the flood of gardening catalogs that they get and emails and all the rest of it that just has generic information for like the whole continent. So that's good. They like their vegetable gardening tips. And now you ask them another question. You say, hey, have you ever wanted to grow your own hot peppers? Now you would only send that to the people who are interested in vegetables. And growing hot peppers is tricky to do in a cold climate. The season's not long enough. So if they are interested in that, then you can send them some, like a little report or a cheat sheet. And here's where you start talking about maybe a home greenhouse or maybe a hydroponic system or some other kind of solution that would let them grow hot peppers even though they live in a cold climate. So if you're blasting the whole list with the home greenhouse thing for hot peppers, people are just going to get bored and they're going to tune out. And even if you send the home greenhouse thing to somebody who lives in a cold climate and grows vegetables, but they didn't click yes on the hot peppers, you're missing that chance to really make something ultra incredibly relevant to what they're thinking about right now. You've missed that opportunity to be incredibly specific and relevant. And what happens when you send these kind of general emails to your lists, and you know, we've certainly seen it, is that your subscribers, they don't necessarily unsubscribe. They do something that's in a way that's worse, which is that mentally they check out. So they see your email come in and they can't even muster the enthusiasm to unsubscribe. And every email list on the planet that's larger than 50 people has some of this. It's a normal part of the way lists age. But obviously we want to try and do everything we can to keep, you know, to forestall that. And that kind of soft unsubscribe, that kind of just lack of engagement because you've got so many things in your email box and the last three things you clicked on, you know, they didn't really excite you that much. I think that's why email is tricky right now. And I think that making that radical commitment to relevance is going to be the solution to creating micro solutions to people based on, you know, questions they answer or posts that they click on, or, you know, links that they click on your email, and delivering them things that they're interested in and keeping the irrelevant stuff out of their inbox. I think that's really going to be the key. So that is what we are going to be playing around with here behind the scenes at Copyblogger. And of course, we'll let you know what we find out about what works and what we find, you know, maybe that's not worth your time or not worth an experiment right now. So when I know more, you will know more. Take care. Thank you, as always, for your time and attention, and we'll talk with you next time.